Welcome to Oversharing with the Overbees. I'm Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And each week you can tune in to hear us respond to your voicemails, go in depth on our lives as content creators, and hopefully leave you feeling even better than we found you.
With that being said, let's get to oversharing. Well, I almost fell off my chair to begin the podcast today, so it's a good start.
It was very entertaining.
Yeah.
And then we were recording. We had the fall on video. And on audio, and that's how we were going to start things off. And then Matt got up because the dog was being a little wild. And in his just exuberance to take care of the dog situation, tripped over all the equipment, unplugged the camera, unplugged the computer, unplugged the monitor, unplugged the light, and everything shut down.
Yeah, I just unplugged the whole recording setup because it's on a power strip that I unplugged. So
and
it was awesome.
So now you guys don't get to see any of that, which is probably good because Matt had some colorful things to say.
Yeah, it's not my day. It's not my day.
No,
I'm very tired. There's something about the day before we record that I think our child chooses to keep me awake.
It really does seem like it's consistently Monday nights.
Yeah, yeah, and so we record the next day, and I think every week I just come in and tell you how tired I am, which is, I'm sure, not getting old at all, but yeah.
Well, and the funny thing is we also talk about what good sleepers our kids are, and I really genuinely believe that
they really are. Yeah,
until they're not. But isn't that kind of toddlerhood?
Yeah,
I was saying that to a friend this morning, talking about how people talk about how toddlers are so hard. And I feel like people have a hard time understanding what is meant by that, because I don't think the toddler themselves is that difficult. It's the way that it wears on you over time, because it takes them a long time to figure out how to manage things.
Yeah, you're teaching the lesson 1,000 times, not once.
Right. And I think that,
or twice or five times.
I feel like if you're patient and you continually teach that lesson all of those times, that over time, then you get a really like consistent, level-headed person.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But it definitely is redundant and it can be very tiring.
They're just amplified little people.
Like, yeah.
They're little people with really no brakes. So they're all gas and they're pure expressions of what's going on inside.
It's honestly a really good example of, I think, how we should all be living a little more.
Yeah, we could all,
I mean, learning to regulate is good.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But the honesty.
Oh, yeah.
And the, like, no fear of just expressing exactly what you're thinking and feeling. So everybody knows exactly where you are. You know what I mean? Because there are definitely times I feel inside how she's expressing outside.
I felt that way when I fell over the cord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you, I think, expressed it similarly to a toddler in that moment. So maybe it is working for you.
I don't know. I think our toddler might have chased after the dog. And I didn't do that.
You're right.
So baby steps. Toddler steps.
Oh, okay. Well, what's on your mind this week? Do you have anything to update everybody on?
No. I feel like I look like I feel today on the podcast, which is good. Like a shell
look
of
good,
a human
feel
being.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah. You play how you look. No, nothing specific. We had a good week. We had a busy week. So, I mean, you'd had your, you went and spoke at a conference.
Mm-hmm.
So that was cool. And I, hung out with the kids for, a day and a half, which was also good. But, she was really toddlering this weekend. She was good, but she had a lot of feelings. And so the moments were strong, but everything was good, generally.
Yeah.
Nothing catastrophic.
I agree.
So, and the funny thing is we've been sleeping great. We've gotten on this new sleep initiative. We've been sleeping like 8+ hours, which is unheard of in this household.
Yep. But daylight savings, I feel like, has really rocked me specifically.
I wasn't ready. This was maybe the worst time daylight savings since, I think every year when we have kids, though, it's been
gotten progressively worse.
Bad. Yeah. Because I feel like I remember it with G, because she was 7 months. 8 months, somewhere in there.
Yeah, 9 months.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Which was like a little bit of a sleep leap, I think, anyway.
Yeah.
And then we lost an hour and schedule got real wonky for a couple weeks, I think.
Yep.
And then last year, new baby. And that was...
I don't remember that one as much.
Yeah, but I don't think we remember anything from that period of time. Like, that would have been in peak...
That's what I mean, sleep. Is I don't think it impacted us the same way last year. Because
we already weren't sleeping?
Yeah.
That's a good point.
And I think fall back's always good, because it gets us on a real healthy schedule every time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm working at it, because I, on Sunday, woke up late.
We all did.
Everybody did. Yep. And then on Monday, I woke up late. But this morning, I woke up at a more... It was still late, but a more... It was like...
Tastefully late.
It was within 30 minutes of my normal time. So I'm hoping tomorrow...
You're incrementally...
I'm going to get to bed earlier and I'm going to... Yeah.
Well, I think if anything, getting 3 to 4 hours of sleep last night, that's going to make early bedtime super doable tonight.
Yeah.
I think we're going to be gunning for bedtime. Hopefully for everybody, but mainly me. I might take our toddler's bed if she decides she's not sleeping tonight.
Yeah.
And then between you two, you should be able to fill out this bed without killing each other.
Maybe.
Which is more of a struggle with three people. Because she's a true starfish.
Yeah, she gets that from her mom.
Yeah. Yeah, she sleeps like her mom. And it's two starfish and then me who sleeps like a rail.
Where do you think that's because I grew up sleeping in a full-size bed?
Yeah, I grew up sleeping in a twin. On the edge of a twin. I used half of a twin.
That's why I asked, though, because if you're only using like a small section of your twin, that doesn't have anything to do with you sleeping in a twin. That's just like who you are.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess. My body was just trained to stay in one position where I
went from a crib to a full-size bed.
Yeah. Not me.
Like from a crib to a double.
I don't think so. Yeah. I was in a twin until... my junior or senior year of high school.
When I met you, you had a queen.
Yeah. But I think it was recent.
I don't know. I didn't ask. That wasn't something that I was like thinking about.
That's not a normal question,
I do remember. Wait, let's tell the story. I remember seeing your bedroom for the first time when we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Matt's house was like freaking cool. Or at least I thought it was really cool.
What about it?
Because you and your dad had finished your own basement.
Yeah.
And your bedroom was in the basement. And instead of closet doors, he had these wild paper things.
Like sliding that slide, panels.
Like they were sliding panel doors.
Very, like Japanese looking doors.
Yeah.
Kind of deal.
They were super cool. So he had that over his closet. The one closet. You had two closets.
Yeah.
Then on the other side of the room, he had a walk-through closet. That you would walk through into the bathroom area, and they had this like really cool modern like double vanity.
Yeah.
And then the like toilet and shower had their own separate room off of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was cool. Like I still remember it to this day being like, oh, he's like, this is fancy.
It was not fancy.
It felt fancy to me.
Learned a lot of skills in that basement. Framing walls and hanging drywall and all that jazz, wiring.
As somebody whose bathroom has been the same since 1993.
I mean, you do have the shortest toilet in the world.
It is a built-in squatty potty.
It's a shin-high potty.
You don't need a squatty potty when you're going in the bathroom I grew up in, because your knees are at your chin.
It's perfect, like if you're potty training a toddler per se. Because I feel like she could get onto that toilet. We just have to get a smaller toilet seat.
No, it's literally the teeniest, tiniest potty you've ever seen. And on top of that, the countertops only go like just shy of my knees. And I don't, like, I'm so much taller. Like, I have to lean over to wash my hands in that bathroom.
Yes, yeah. If you pee standing up at that toilet, it kind of feels like you're going to pee on your feet.
Like, and I asked my dad, I was like, is this specialty like for me being a child? Because you knew this was a child bathroom. He's like, no, that was standard.
Yeah.
Like it is standard.
Well, there's like a varying.
You know what I standard think it is, was?
What?
I think it was dirt cheap standard.
Yeah.
I think that.
Somebody saved on 3 inches of cabinet height.
Yeah. Like I think Everything in there was just
economically motivated.
Yes.
Yeah. No. Yeah, because they're when they say standard height for like countertops and that kind of thing, that varies. Like you can kind of pick your standard.
I thought it was 32 inches.
Is it 32?
And then a kitchen counter is like 32. Okay.
I thought it was like 32 to 36. Like some like
you I think 32 is a standard bathroom. Okay. And 36 is a standard kitchen.
Okay. Maybe so. But then also people just build kind of whatever in
people
that range.
Will build custom, but got that's it. Like the
I don't know.
Like if you're gonna buy pre-built boxes, mm-hmm. that's what they're gonna be.
Okay.
Like you don't buy kitchen boxes for a bathroom. Like if a bathroom has a countertop that feels too high, it's probably because somebody DIY'd it and they bought kitchen boxes for a bathroom.
Yeah, where they're tall like us.
I'm not saying they can't intentionally make that choice.
For sure.
I'm just saying that those were probably kitchen built boxes that they've chosen to use in a bathroom.
And so in your bathroom, it was children boxes?
What I have no like, that's what I don't know.
I don't know. I don't either.
I know that people used to be a lot smaller and so they used to build things smaller.
Back in the 90s everybody was tiny.
Well no, but I'm envisioning like to save money they got like stuff from a warehouse from the 70s. No, it was all brand new. My parents are gonna listen to this.
They're gonna be so annoyed by this
they are.
Whole bit.
It's because my parents built the house. They still live in the house that I grew up in. So my parents built
somebody probably custom made that cabinet.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Because it was the same. The cabinets in my bathroom were the same as the cabinets in the original kitchen.
Okay. They were? The original kitchen was for ants?
Not the height.
Oh.
Not the height.
I was like,
whoa. The wood and color standard.
That would feel insane.
I have no idea about the height. But like all the bathrooms growing up, like my parents' bathroom, my bathroom, my parents are going to have to correct me if I'm wrong. This is how I remember it.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's true because they renovated their bathroom and the kitchen.
Yeah.
And so it's been obviously a minute.
What do you think your bathroom cabinet height is? 26 inches?
It's not that low.
It feels
that low. They're 30 inches.
That's, it's 2 inches different from like it feels like a mile.
Well,
it feels like it's a foot lower.
We did 36.
Yeah, we do. Like, I mean, we do tall.
Ours are not standard, but yeah, they're 30 inches. We measured them last time we were home because we had this exact conversation. So I got out a measuring tape and measured it. Yeah, they're 30 inches tall.
I'm sure this isn't even the first time we've talked about it on the podcast. We've definitely talked about it.
It's crazy.
The more you live in places, the more you see weird stuff.
I don't know about that because I think that a lot of people don't pay attention to stuff like this.
Well,
like,
if we've learned anything from Rock the Block... Some people pay attention and some people do.
Okay, so Matt and I have decided that we are secretly real estate experts.
We are amazing at it. Amazing at it. Really, there's just like a team or two that like we really align with. And then there's some teams that we're like, disagree, strong disagree.
And the team that we're in line with always wins. So we think we're brilliant, which is probably everyone that watches Rock the Block. You know, anybody that watches
I'm sure it's
HGTV.
Intentionally like produced to be like,
it's
make
working.
The viewer feel smart.
Yeah. And let me tell you, it's working. So we keep coming back to watch. So Matt and I started watching Rock the Block on HGTV when it came out.
Yeah.
In, I don't know, they're in like their fifth season.
I think so.
Was it 2019, 2020 when they did the first
18,
launch?
19, somewhere there.
And we've watched it every single year since. And we love, I think it's HGTV's like number one show. So
it's
everybody
one of the
listening
finest
is
HGTV
probably
shows.
Like, yeah. But if you don't know what Rock the Block is, HGTV buys four homes on a block that are all identical.
Yeah.
And then they bring hosts from all their different TV shows, like four different pairings, and they face off in renovating or finishing these homes. Normally, they're like builder grade homes. In the past, they've done them where they're already like partially built out. This year, they're not built out at all.
Yeah, they've done homes that are built, but very... basic finishes, I mean, pretty much bare. And then this year, it's just like not even the walls are built in for a lot of areas.
Yeah. So we love Rock the Block. Yeah. But we didn't know it would come back, so we got to watch two episodes last
night. We did.
And the first episode was 2 hours. Granted, we fast-forwarded through commercials.
Yeah.
But it does make us feel like we're really smart. So whoever's editing that, you're doing a really good job.
Great work.
It, in fact, is making us feel brilliant, and we do, in fact, appreciate that very much.
We need it. We need it.
Yeah, and I always look around my house, and I'm like, oh, I could have made different decisions.
Does that add value?
No, the thing, when we did our house, we didn't make any choices based on the value of the home.
No, we made a lot of choices, actually, with the knowledge that they weren't value adds.
Yeah, that
they were function adds.
That they were for us. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to note while we're talking about houses, just because this is what I'm thinking about, anybody that is renovating, building, anything like that, and you are picking out doors, go ahead and put at least a 32-inch door in.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
It's going to cost basically nothing more. Very little more. That can't be the right way to say that.
It's not going to show you a huge price increase, but it is going to have a huge function increase in your home should anybody need to be on crutches or be in a wheelchair.
Or if you need to move furniture. Let me tell you, the difference in a 36 or a 32-inch door when you have to move chairs, your bed.
We have 32-inch doors and the crib still doesn't fit in and out.
Oh my goodness. That is, love Pottery Barn. But the fact that the crib is like a 33-inch wide.
That's standard.
I know it's standard.
It's not Pottery Barn.
It's so irritating,
like,
guys.
It is the standard safety for a crib.
I have to take one side off to slide it through the door barely. Yeah. Which I hate disassembling it just to move it in and out. Because you don't have to do that with a bed. Beds fit through. Mattresses fit through.
A bed does not fit through assembled. Not if it has a headboard.
Well, we don't have any headboards.
Okay, but that is not...
Well, we have one headboard. That's true. Two headboards.
The same as saying a fully assembled bed fits through a door.
But a bed would make it on an angle. You could swing it. If you throw it up on its side, you can swing it through the door.
I guess that's true. You're right.
No, that's not a great way to move a headboard bed.
No. Like,
that's a great way to break your bed and or headboard.
Or your door. Doorway.
But you can do it. That's the point. Very little furniture you have to disassemble to get in and out of doors.
Couches, man.
Yes. Couches are, you need, that's why they make a lot of exterior doors. That's not why they make a lot of exterior doors 3 feet. I was about to say that. Guys, I'm not well.
I was like, no, I don't think that's why at all. But they actually make the exterior doors 3 feet so you can fit your couch in and
out.
Yeah,
it's for couches.
Yeah.
It's, 75 years ago they started, yeah.
Well,
as couches got bigger, they made bigger doors.
And at our home we lived in before this one, we had double doors on the front. And that was the fanciest I've ever felt in my entire life.
No, double doors was the life for moving furniture. You could take a bed through their flat.
It always felt so funny to me, though, to have double doors on the houses that, you know what I mean? Like, when I guess I just didn't have a lot of friends. Mm-mm. There weren't a lot of homes that I grew up going into that had double doors. And so in my, like, idea, like, that's one of those things. You know when people ask, like, what are things that you think of when you were at a friend's house that to you felt, like,
fancy.
Rich or like fancy? Double doors was definitely,
yeah,
like that was, dang, you have double doors, you know,
two doors, one of them probably doesn't work unless you unpin it,
right?
Yeah
And I always thought that. And then when we well, actually the first house we bought had double doors. Mm-hmm. But it was 1800 square feet, which was, it was great.
Yeah.
But it's not like, it wasn't a
sprawling estate.
No, it wasn't a huge home. But I loved the double doors on it. It was so functional.
Oh, the best for moving furniture.
Yeah. Anyway, then we went back to a normal door and it's been womp womp.
But we have the big doors in the back. We have the sliding doors in the back.
Yeah.
So we moved a lot.
There
of
are furniture options.
Yeah.
But I love a double door.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I don't know. I should backtrack because I adore our door.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm really into doors today. That's just what I want to talk
door
about.
Door talk. How it was fancy, but not.
I think
not
we
as
just
fancy as you'd think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you ever think about how all the different jobs out there, all the different pieces to the puzzle, all the different things that people do? Like, there's somebody whose entire gig is just doors.
Like making doors?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like designing doors. Like, I bet there's just a door designer.
You think? I feel like most of the designs are pretty well covered.
You don't think anybody's out there designing new doors?
Full time? I don't know. Maybe like a custom door fabricator. Well, I think about
that friend I had whose dad like designed poles.
Yeah.
Like light poles, but not the light on top, just the pole part.
Like, I can see that being a thing if you're like having to choose what poles go where.
No.
Literally designing.
He designed the poles that then got put in the thing that people like picked from when they were designing stuff.
Oh, okay. They're not like.
And cut, so You think that that's a thing, but that there's not somebody designing doors.
I don't know. There probably is.
100% there is.
I mean, I thought I knew every single job in the world. If you're a door designer
and listening to that, I thought I knew every single job in the world. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. I can't say I've thought about it. But yeah, there's a lot of jobs
sometimes
out there.
I think about that and it makes me feel...
small.
Better.
Better?
Not small. It makes me feel like... maybe I don't need to put so much pressure on myself. I don't know.
I'm glad it makes you feel that way. I don't understand why, oh, but okay. I love that for you.
Well, because I look around my room and I see all the different things in here and I see somebody designed that frame. Somebody made mm-hmm. that artwork. Somebody grew that plant from seed or from a cutting. You know, like somebody designed the artwork on that book. Somebody wrote that book. Somebody was in charge of printing that book. Somebody mm-hmm. was in charge of binding that book. Sure. Somebody was in charge of designing that chair. Somebody sells the fabric that's on that chair. Somebody sells the stuff. Like, you think yeah. about all the different people yeah. that went into all the different things that we're surrounded by. And then I realized that I really don't matter that much. And that makes me feel better.
I get that feeling sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Not taking up space feels like a good thing for me. So feeling small.
Oh, that's not what I'm describing at all.
No, I know it's not.
Oh, okay.
Everything's big. Like, everything's, you know, there's a lot out there, so.
Right. So, my point is that it doesn't really matter how big you are or
yeah.
how whatever, because at the end of the day, you're always kind of small.
Yes. Yeah. People are just people.
Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Well,
deep thoughts.
On that wow. note, bad dad, mean mom. What do you have for us?
Oh, man. Bad dad.
Bad dad.
I feel like there's been so many individual moments.
Mean mom.
Dad tried to make smiley face pancakes this morning. That didn't go amazing. Using a new smiley face mold that we got on clearance at Target for $3. It was an experimentation phase. She thought it was great. She thought they were pumpkins. Yeah.
I think if you did a different pan, it would work.
An electric skillet, I think, would have been better than working over gas. Gas with pancakes is tricky.
I think you need to do, too, like, at some point, the squeeze bottle where you, like, do your design and then you know, like, you do the outline and then you fill it and whatever.
Yeah, you're discussing, like, a pancake artisan.
I think that sounds fun. Like, that sounds like a fun activity to do with the kids.
It does. It does.
Maybe when they're a little older. Do you think
you make the pancake batter in bulk?
Yes.
And just like keep it in the fridge?
Yes.
That makes sense.
I think you make the pancake batter in bulk and then you put it into different bottles because they do like different colors. Like they put drops of food coloring.
Oh, okay. I haven't necessarily seen the food coloring as much.
Yeah.
I've seen where they put it on at different times so it browns more or less.
And you can do that. Like okay. that is probably a healthier way to do it. But
yeah.
So you're a bad dad because you didn't do impeccable pancake art?
Pancake art was mid at best today. I got one pancake that looked pretty good, but then it tore right at the eye hole. So it looked all right if you kept it on the plate. I'm laughing too
because neither of our kids eat like a whole pancake yet.
No,
both of our kids cut their food up. So like you made these pancakes just to cut them up with like kitchen scissors.
No, G ate one.
Just oh, like, she did? Just okay.
Like a sandwich, basically. Just taking bites out of it.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Mean mom. The thing I'm really struggling with this week as a mom is I left the kids overnight to go speak at a conference this weekend, and I booked flights today for my longest trip away from the kids and you. Not my longest trip away from you ever, but like yeah. since having kids is what I'm saying.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you think of a time? The longest I've been gone is 3 nights.
Okay. Yeah. I guess this is longer than that.
Yeah. I'm going to be gone for 4 or 5 nights. And I'm being really hard on myself about it.
That's really not necessary, but
I feel really bad. And I think it's because I'm really excited about what I'm going to do. like I'm really excited. I think I'm going to have a lot of fun and I'm going to be with people that I really cherish and love. And, I'm celebrating a friend who has had a huge accomplishment and it's been on the books for almost a year.
Yeah.
And so I'm really excited, but also just really, I don't know. I really grapple with that. And I keep thinking to myself, my dad, who was the primary income in my household growing up, was gone like 3 or 4 nights a week, every week.
Regularly.
Most of my childhood. And like, he would leave for even longer stints than that. Normally he was home on the weekends.
And that wasn't uncommon. Like, I mean, still not uncommon. Like,
yeah.
Lots of people travel a lot for work.
But he traveled all the time. And yet, and the thing is, I know, because multiple of my friends that I've expressed this to, because I'm really struggling with it. Like, I'm really in my head about it. And all my friends that I've talked to or, like, confided in have said back to me, they're like, oh, are you, like, nervous to leave Matt with the kids? Are you, like, nervous about not being there? And I don't feel that way at all.
No.
Like, Matt's got it. If anything, I think that the house might run even better when I'm not there.
It's simpler when you're not here.
Yeah.
It, like, if anything, if you learn anything working from home with your kids, the less authority figures your kids have to respond to, usually the smoother things go. Like, if there's just one person, like, let's say a babysitter or nannies here, like, they listen to that person and then they don't try and, you know, cross-reference it with you and with mom. Like, but the more people that are here, the more they're like, well, let me go check with that person, or like, let me see if I can get everybody to come do something with me, as opposed to like, hey, this is who's in charge right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, no, that part goes smoothly. I mean, I already do bedtime a lot of times with the kids, and so, and his bedtime's super simple. So, mm-hmm.
Well, and I think that I'm going to toot my own, well, not toot my own horn, but I'm going to throw my actions into the basket, because I think we split bedtime. Like, yeah. You often do, like, the end of the routine, but I normally mm-hmm. do bath time, PJs.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that whole side of thing. And in the morning, I think we split a lot of our routines up. Like, I do hair, I do brush teeth, I do all of those things. So when I am gone, there is more on your plate, because we're not splitting up the morning and evening routine
that way.
But what I will say is, when I'm gone, I get so much more done, I get a ton done work wise but anyway, it just, I don't know, that's, I feel like mean mom. I feel guilty leaving, and I think my job, at least in this season, has been so much fun. Like, genuinely, so many of the things I'm doing are truly just, I feel so privileged to even get to do them, mm-hmm. let alone get to do them and call it work. And there are parts of it that are, in fact, like
work,
but it's still, I don't know. I struggle with that.
Yeah, I get that. It makes sense, but we're going to be fine. We're going to do great.
Well, I know, I'm genuinely, like I said, I'm not worried about y'all. Yeah. I just, like, I laid in bed last night and I was thinking to myself how I feel so strange as a mom not being the primary parent.
Mm.
And like, I'm way more involved than any dad I know.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean?
You're still a mom, which is like an A-tier dad.
Like, I would say that we are, Matt and I are pretty 50-50 split. And mm-hmm. something about that 50-50 makes me feel like I am really not doing what I'm supposed to.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of societally conditioned. Men have a minimal impact and women.
Well, and I think about it, like I just said, a lot.
Yeah.
Because when I'm feeling that way, I kind of like will list out what I do versus what you do to kind of like give myself a look, because mm-hmm. I'm like, in my head, I don't know. Anyway, every time I list it out, it turns out we're pretty 50-50, and that blows my mind, because I feel like we're like 90-10. You.
It's like, it's just, I think some of the easier things to think about, like, doing the sleeping part of bedtime and food are really like low hanging fruit and really present to think about. But you do a lot of the prep stuff and a lot of the mental labor around a lot of it too.
Yeah. I do the appointments. I do the clothes.
Yeah.
Not the laundry.
No, no. I mean, I dress them, but sometimes.
No, I meant like I stock like, their clothes. I go it. Through, yes. I put yeah. stuff into bins. I thrift for their clothing.
For sure.
I like you're never having to think, do we have the next size up in their clothing?
Well, I do sometimes, like, but not nearly as much as you. You do that. You're the primary on that for sure.
You think that sometimes?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay. I guess I'm confused because I
just kind of keep it like a mental inventory of what they have or what they might
need.
Yeah. Like if there's something that I think we lack, but we're usually pretty good. We get a lot of things. We have a lot of things from your sisters. We have, we get sent things once in a while, like PJs and stuff. We're usually like,
yeah,
good on, which is one of the bigger.
Little Sleepies has been really kind and continually working with us, and that's been a huge privilege because we love their PJs and we have spent our own money and purchased a lot of their PJs, but they have also included us in a lot of special collections too, so that's been a bonus of our job for sure. But I've gotten a ton of their clothes secondhand.
You have some great connections with that.
I have some awesome moms in our area who sell their clothing from their kiddos secondhand, and we have some awesome groups. Actually, Better Closets for Kids ships nationally, so if you follow that Instagram account, it is a local mom to my area, but she takes clothing from all kinds of moms locally and then we'll price them and sell them through Instagram, and she'll ship to you. So if you're looking for an easier, well, it's not easy. I shouldn't say that.
Curated?
Because more curated is what I would say.
Yeah.
Because what I will say is you have to be on there as she's posting stuff and you have to refresh and like be ready to say, I want that, because it is very competitive.
It's first come, first serve.
Yeah. But I've gotten some awesome pieces that way for pennies on the dollar compared to what it would normally cost. And I really think that's the direction to go with kids' clothes if you can. Unless it's a special occasion and you like want to splurge on something, just because like G's wearing an outfit today and it has holes in the knees from her.
Yeah.
You know,
they just get worn out. Kids are wild. They're tough on clothes. So yeah, it's great if you can get,
I've gone a really weird direction this podcast.
We've wandered all over.
Okay. Do you want to do reads of the week?
Reads of the week. This is Greg's Reads of the Week. Greg's your dad. He reads a lot of news. He sends us a fair amount of that news.
Yeah, he does.
And sometimes the articles give us anxiety. So we rate those, not the articles themselves, the titles of the articles. We rate them 1 to 5, how much anxiety they give us.
Article number one, the number one habit all highly resilient people have, according to a career expert.
Two out of five?
1 out of 5. I like articles like this. I find it very interesting, and
you're better at taking, you know, constructive feedback than me.
Yeah.
Significantly better.
Yeah. Actually, stick a pin in that and come back to the quiz we took last night.
Oh, what quiz did we? Oh yeah. We have a little app that we take quizzes on about, relationship stuff all over the map, but it was a, what was it called? It was growth mindset quiz. And, what?
Okay, we're going to go into it now.
Oh.
Go ahead.
We're going to stick a pin in it.
It's okay.
Yeah. Anyway, it was a growth mindset quiz. And it turns out that you are 100% of our growth mindset. It was like a you or them. Like you pick one or the other. Who most embodies. It was like,
who's going to apply constructive criticism? Who's going to receive constructive criticism well? Who's going to think about the future? Who's going to?
None of it was me. Absolutely none of it. And like, it's not that I can't do any of those things. It's that you are much better and like much more suited naturally.
I was going to say, I think I'm more inclined to just based on my personality.
Yeah.
And like, I just really like that stuff, whereas I think for you find it much more intimidating and much more you have a lot more freeze in you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot more hesitation when it comes to that stuff for me. But
it was kind of funny. We were giggling.
Yes, but we got 100% of the answers correct. Like
on the quiz thing, we take a quiz every night and or most nights, and it like you both answer, and then it tells you how aligned you are. So,
like how many questions you agree on the answers to.
And there are a couple different formats to it. Like on that one, it was like we were answering all the same questions on some of them. I'll answer questions like for me, and then I'll answer them for you, and then it like applies and sees how well we match up, and I always lose those and it frustrates me so much because Matt has such an unfair advantage.
Yeah, you communicate like what you think and I don't, so you're like, I don't know what he thinks, so I have to guess at all these questions, and I'm like, oh yeah, she's told me all of these things, so these are the answers.
And Matt's like, I win. No, you're really nice.
I'm like, no, this is not an indicator of like who's winning. It's like, oh, look at you communicating better than me. But you're like, why am I losing? I'm losing all of the time.
I lose all of them.
Yeah. And it's like, always my answers.
I promise I'm listening.
I know you are. I'm just not saying anything. Article number 2.
Man walked 5 miles to work until hundreds formed a makeshift rideshare service.
Oh, I mean, no anxiety.
That's really nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. The last one for today is to live longer, do these 5 things every day, says a neurologist and aging expert.
3?
Yeah, like a 3 out of 5. But again, I like an article like that. I do.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes they make me feel bad if I'm not doing like any out of the 5.
Well, like, I think 2...
I just saw one. It was take care of your health. Okay, that's...
Manage stress.
That's a little general.
Like, eat well, get active, stay positive. But I really do, like, articles like that are both... they can be a stressor over the headline.
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, sometimes I think it's good because I think we get really caught up in trying to do everything perfectly.
Correct.
And it's like, if you're just overall... generally pretty positive and like generally pretty go with the flow and like, you know, you work hard, it's gonna be pretty good.
I feel attacked.
You do?
No, I'm just kidding.
I was trying to attack you, so I'm glad that came off exactly I meant it.
It came exactly perfectly then. You did it.
Do you have a word of the week?
Word
of the week. Do you think Out of the Box is going to come for me for doing that every single week? 100%.
They're going to sue our pants off.
They're
going to take this podcast for everything it's worth.
I loved that show so deeply. Yeah.
I don't really remember it.
Oh, they would take the boxes. They would put them all together and then they would run around and see what's inside.
Okay. Sure. Oh my goodness.
It was the best. Truly. Like, my phone is... Then the inside of the box fort looked incredible. And I always wondered when I would take all the boxes and try to build my own box fort, why it didn't look like their really cool studio box fort.
Mm-hmm.
It's crap.
Mm-hmm.
No?
Are you familiar with the word ulterior?
Like ulterior motives?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, yes.
You know what it means?
Different?
Yeah, things that are kept hidden to achieve a particular result.
Hidden, ulterior. Yeah. I've only ever heard it as ulterior motives.
That's usually what it's describing.
Okay.
Or ulterior reasons, ulterior agendas. Like,
nope, yeah. Nope.
Ulterior motives, yes.
Ulterior motives, okay.
Ulterior.
How do I spell it?
U.
Oh. Oh, no.
You were thinking ulterior. Ulterior. U-L-T-E-R-I-O-R. Ulterior.
Ulterior.
Interior, but without in, it's all.
Okay. It always blows my mind how wrong I spell things.
That's not your forte. It's not your gift.
No, I'm so bad.
It's all right.
It is.
That's what spell check is for.
Mm, yeah. You know, I do think about how if I would have existed, you know, even 50 years ago... without spell check or like a calculator in my pocket.
Uh-huh.
I do feel like I'm pretty good at mental math, actually, now that I say
you'd
that.
You'd be okay at math.
Yeah, I could do that part. But the spelling?
You'd be the village idiot.
I really would. I really would. Oh, well.
You would probably just get better at it, but yeah.
Probably. Are you ready for some voice mails?
Yeah, let's hear what you guys have to say.
We also have a lot of emails.
Yes.
So Matt's been sitting on emails for...
Yeah, like they get answered sporadically, and then they kind of get put in as, like, we get to them as we can. And so we probably need to do like a catch-up email kind of deal.
An email episode coming soon.
Yeah, because there's a lot of them. You guys write us.
All right, voicemail first.
Hi, Joe. Hi, Matt. My name is Hannah, and I am from Northwest Arkansas. I wanted to start off by saying thank you so much for your podcast. I think it is awesome, and you guys bring me so much joy, and I think y'all are really funny. Anyways, I wanted to give you some ideas for your podcast segments.
Ooh.
And I think they're really good. And if they're terrible, just forget about this, okay? But I was thinking for Greg's Read of the Week, I think you guys have done like, Greg. I think you guys have said that before, and I really like that. And I'd like to add like a WWE style sound to it, or maybe even Little John. I mean, I really dig Little John, so I think it'd be really cool. And then for Word of the Week, you guys have also sung this part where it's like, Word of the Week. But I'm thinking for the sound side, you do some kind of sound, and then after Word of the Week, you go, burr-burr. So it's Word of the Week, burr-burr. Word of the Week,
burr-burr. That's Blues Clues.
Or something. I don't know. If this is absolutely terrible, just go ahead and delete the voicemail and we'll forget that it existed. It's fine. But if not, just let me know.
No, we're going to put the voicemail in the podcast.
I'm dying. Honestly, we should probably just pull the audio from that voicemail and we'll start using that. Greg.
So, Bill Nye the Science Guy, that's where that first one is stolen from.
Yeah.
And, that you're suggesting a hybrid of Out of the Box, which we literally just discussed.
And Blues
and
Clues.
And that was the Blues Clues noise that was done really well.
It was. That was really impressive. Yeah.
As someone who has played his child Blues Clues bedtime stories lately, that was a perfect blue.
So, yeah, we have a lot of work to do on those. Maybe one day we should just sit here at the setup and we should just try and shout out some intros and stuff.
Yeah.
And then Becca, our lovely editor, who we love with our whole hearts. Hi, Becca. We love you, Becca.
Yeah, don't feel bad if your voicemail doesn't like come off perfectly, because we have somebody that makes us not sound like we're completely lost all the time.
And somehow we still end up sounding lost, which means...
Yeah, but she makes it a lot better.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I'm not... That's not a critique on Becca.
No.
We love her. She makes it happen.
Yeah, she's working with what she's... given,
yeah,
which is us,
which is unfortunately the ingredients here.
Yeah, they're
subpar
found.
At best.
Yeah.
All right, emails.
Emails.
Mm-hmm.
Again, you guys sent us a lot of emails, so mm-hmm. let's work on this. Hi, Joe. You're not weird by saying that you want your kids to have their own birth months. I think this a whole lot because my daughter's birthday is so close to mine, literally 4 days apart.
Well, on top of that, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're exactly 4 days apart too.
But theirs is an August-September break.
Oh.
Late August, early September.
Okay. I like that, though.
On top of that, my family's pretty big, and we have a bunch of birthdays in September. I'm a big birthday person because I've had a few bad birthdays, so I throw myself into my daughter's birthday, or at least the actual day, because I want her to know that she's special and loved, especially on her birthday. She's only two, so as the years go on, I hope I can make it as special as I can. I guess this is a long-winded way of saying your birthdays are special, and you're not weird for wanting your children to have different birth months.
Yeah, I'm big on, that's like a huge thing for me.
Yeah,
you don't care.
I don't care.
You don't get it.
I don't get it. It's okay.
But also, like, that's somewhere that you and I like fundamentally disagree, and never have you brought any evidence to the table that's going to convince me. Like, you don't care, but you don't care, I think, because you're dissociated from life. Do you know what I mean? Like, you don't have a good argument for why people shouldn't care. You don't care because you're like, I don't care about anything. And I think that that fundamentally makes you a less fulfilled and happy person.
I mean, without a doubt, I don't know that I, you know, would argue that.
And so because I have just won this argument, now you have to start saying you see the value in people having different birth months in our family.
But you're not in control.
Say it. You can't see the value?
I don't get it. No, like, we're not in control of that. Like, it happens.
What do you mean we're not in control of that?
Okay. You have some control, like, potentially, but unexpected things can happen. And, like, I don't know. I just don't put a lot of stock into it, I guess.
But I'm not saying that if they end up with the same birth month,
we're going to give them away.
Yeah. No, like, you're acting like you're looking at the wrong end of the conversation. Always. You're acting like people who have the same birth month need to feel less than, and they're horrible.
No, they don't need to feel anything at all. That's what I'm saying.
And how's that going for you? Would you consider yourself happy?
Did that sound happy? That noise? Was that good? Did I pull it off?
Yeah, it was just like Blue's Clues, honestly.
I've seen more magic in birthdays since having kids. Because pre-kids, I was like,
I'm not a big birthday person. Like, I don't care that much about my birthday personally. Mm-hmm. Like, I think that we see eye to eye in that, but I still think that people having their own times to be celebrated. Yeah. Like, it's like, I think of my friends who's like, I have a very dear friend whose birthday is a couple days after Christmas, and she hates it. Like, she's 30 and she hates it because people are always busy. They're always with family. They're always out of town. I think that that's a good example of how, like, it doesn't have to be birthdays close together. It's about birthdays give an opportunity to carve out a special slice of time in which somebody is always prioritized.
Sure.
Like, I don't have high expectations of my birthday in that, like, I don't need theatrics. I don't need a big party. I don't all of that. But I do love to have a day where the people around me are, like, prioritizing that I feel special, whether that's I get to sleep in or I have breakfast made for me in the morning or I go to lunch with friends. Like, you know what I mean? Sure. It can be little things, but knowing that you have that time that is being dedicated to you. Whereas it's really hard to enjoy that if everything's all stacked up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, yes. It is important to
celebrate people. I'm going to keep going.
Individually and distinctly. I get that. That makes sense.
Another voicemail.
Voice email. Here we go. Oh.
Sorry. I knew what I meant.
Yeah. I need your help. My husband and I have a toddler who'll be turning two this year. I'm self-employed, running my own business. My husband is a manager of a company and positioned to set his own hours. When it comes to household duties, I would confidently say that on top of my job, I handle 90% of them, almost always. I'm constantly on the move, operating around everyone else's schedule but my own. Not laughing at you, laughing at my wife, laughing at me. This means dishes, laundry, finances, grocery shopping, etc. My husband said on multiple occasions that doing these things wasn't programmed into him because he wasn't expected to do them when he was younger. He is 30 now. Been there. If I need help
with that misogynistic excuse.
Tried it. It's not a good idea. If I need help with anything in the house, I have to ask or tell him to do it. He asks all the time, "What do you need me to do?" I always default to the answer, "Nothing," as I stand in a kitchen with the sink full of dirty dishes in the house and a complete mess. I'm so frustrated with how he simply doesn't see that putting away the dishes would be a huge weight off my shoulders. I've found that having to explain these obvious chores over and over again is exhausting. This exhaustion has caused many disagreements. He always jumps to the answers of, "You're a mom, you'll always do more," or "Put him in daycare so you'll have time." I have no idea how to handle these responses. What are your takes on the situation? Just take a deep breath before you...
read Fair Play together.
Or watch the...
I think read the book. Okay. Well, I mean, you can watch the documentary, that's fine. But I think if you have a limited amount of time, spending an hour and a half watching the documentary isn't going to put any effective change into your
life. No, but I do think that launches the idea.
And some people don't like it. Like, whatever. Yeah. But and I think a lot of people don't like it because the first three chapters are genuinely just reading off all the statistics and all of the things that back up the way our expectations of women have basically been way higher than our expectations of men forever. And so women always carry more. And it basically like breaks down that point that he made that like, well, you're programmed to do it and I'm not, which is just not true. It's that women haven't had the option and men have. So like he's choosing to not see those things or not learn how to see those things. Like he may very well not mm-hmm. notice the dishes or not notice. But those are things that you can work on training yourself to see and notice and, you know, take care of. And it's not that women are more inclined to do those things.
Yeah. At the very least, you can make it a part of a routine, even if it's not something you individually value. If it's an important part of your household, like some of these things can be delegated to you. Like it's
that was
like,
your argument when we first moved in together. It's been years. I don't want this to sound like this is Matt now, because you would never. I would say
I've grown a lot in this. I would say category.
I'm trying to think. I don't even think since we've been married you would have said this. But when we initially moved in together, and we've lived together now for seven, eight years.
Something like that.
When we initially moved in together and I was trying to get Matt to take part in chores within the house, which you had some that you were really good at doing and others that you weren't.
Still that way.
Yeah. Matt said to me, he's like, well, I just don't, that's not important to me. And it's important to you. So like, you know, like if you weren't here, I just wouldn't do that. And my head literally exploded off my body.
Yeah. Yeah. We've had a lot of these arguments you're describing.
I think it's really common.
Yeah.
I think it's really common because I think culturally, like men literally get away with anything.
Yes.
For the most part. Like I'm not saying it's all households. I'm not saying all men, whatever. But even like, I think that you were raised by a mom who had a lot of expectations of you. Mm-hmm. You learned a lot of things many men don't. You have a lot of household labor skills and a lot of household labor like eyes. Like you see a lot of things that other people don't. And you still, like, we're now in a situation where like we both work, but I would say Matt works part-time and I work full-time.
For sure.
And our household labor is still split. I don't want you to get upset. I'm going to say 60-40.
Okay. Which way? You?
Yeah.
You way? Okay.
I'm going to say 60-40. And that includes the mental labor, the appointments, the finances, the like all of that back end stuff. Now, that does not include our kids. With our kids, I would say we're maybe 60-40 the other way, or pretty 50-50.
Yeah. Depends on the day.
Yeah, it depends on the day.
All of these things fluctuate.
Never does it lean 60-40. Not never, I guess, but for the most part, it very rarely runs 60-40 my way with our kids.
Yeah.
I would say it's either equal or Matt's taking on a little extra so that I can have a little more space to finish work.
Think back to the part-time thing. That's a big part of it.
Well, right. And that's kind of the point that I'm making is like, you just heard me say Matt probably puts in 2 full days of work labor a week, like for our jobs. Mm-hmm. I do 5 to 6 days of work labor a week for our jobs.
And maintenance stuff every day.
And maintenance like, stuff.
Like
yeah.
Like social media, right. you're showing I up guess that's in some true. Capacity, I'd say every day.
I was thinking more of like, I
deliverables,
guess
emails. Like,
yes,
yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah. But actual organization you're type right. stuff.
Thank you. That was really kind.
No, you do. Like that's a big part of it though.
Yeah.
That I've had to learn to see.
Yeah. But, and yet Matt hasn't, even though I think that we have a really even split and it's something we really work at, I still carry more. Oh, and I still feel guilty. Like it's like what I talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. I still feel guilty for not doing enough. And so I don't think that's uncommon. My best suggestion is like, I really liked Fair Play because even though we don't operate by the system, like having something laid out with an entire system of like mental labor, like pre-work, actual physical labor, complete and like who those tasks belong to. When you have somebody like your husband who says, well, I don't see it. It doesn't like, it's not important to me. Like you're more inclined. I wasn't raised that way. Having a chart, like nobody can argue with a chart, you know,
no.
Like these are your chores. This is what you do, you know? And if you don't do it, it's nobody's fault but yours because that was your assigned task, both the mental labor and physical labor of that. Or maybe it's like mom's job to do the mental labor of something and dad's job to do the physical labor or vice versa, you know?
Yeah.
Like we definitely have that. Like I have signed G up for all of her activities and things like that for the summer and fall. And I don't think Matt's like given that a second thought because we've discussed it and he knows that I am going to do it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, he's a manager. This is digestible stuff for him, like assigning roles and assigning responsibilities. I mean, I think that's really the gist of fair play, though, is laying out truly all of the work. And a lot of it is not visible. Like the mental labor side of things is very much undervalued by men, especially. So, yeah, did we do one or two whole podcasts on this?
Oh, yeah, we did. We did.
Yeah, we did some pretty extensive podcasts on this early. Somewhere, yeah.
At the beginning, you're right.
15, 20, somewhere in those episodes, we did two episodes on this. But the gist of it is, it's about showing all of the work that goes into raising a family and being able to see that. And even if it's not something you're inclined to do, it's still important that it gets done.
Well, and it's made our relationship so much better because I think you are so much more aware of all the things I'm juggling.
Yes.
Because there were a lot of things that as we went through that, Matt has always, like, I think in your mind, it was like, well, calling the vet for an appointment, no big deal. Oh, mm-hmm. Calling the pediatrician for an appointment, no big deal. Oh, calling to do whatever, no big deal. And then we had an issue with the IRS, like with something not like right on the back end. And we got a letter in the mail that had the number that you had to call and Matt had to call. And how many hours did you spend?
Oh,
and
that was tragic.
At the end of that, I feel like that was one of your first like realizations of like, oh, these things that I've been writing off as like, oh, well, all she did was X, Y, Z. Not that you would ever say that, but no. The way that you were talking in your head is like, you know,
yeah,
no big deal. And then all of a sudden you were like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I feel like I valued a lot of that before, but we both just hate calling people.
I don't.
No?
No.
You don't dislike it?
I did a long time ago. That's something that my family definitely has a running joke about because I wouldn't call to order pizza.
Oh.
When I was a kid, but I don't. As an adult, it hasn't bothered me.
Yeah, I'm still not great at it.
I know. That's why a lot of times, like when all that happened and mm-hmm. it wasn't, that's why I was like, I can do it. It's okay.
That was more like I was on hold for like an hour and then they dropped my call. And then I called back and it was too late. And then I called back the next day, waited over an hour, dropped my call again. And that's when I lost my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was great.
It was not good. But no. The point I was making is just like through some of those things, I feel like your eyes have been opened to how much goes into a lot of those things.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with photography. Like when I was doing that, like I feel like we don't question the labor of a lawyer, a doctor, a nurse, a teacher. Like,
yeah,
that's not true. We question the labor of a teacher a lot.
Yeah, and there's this assumption that when you go home, there's no work. And
that teaching isn't. So I actually retract that statement. I do think we question the labor of a teacher. But mm-hmm. there are a lot of jobs out there that we do not question the labor of. And then there's a whole array of jobs that we like to belittle and, you know, speak ill of. I think of like musicians, a lot of things in the arts, a lot of things in entertainment, a lot of creative fields. We really diminish value. And it's the same way with labor that's primarily done by women.
Yeah. Yeah. And the funny thing is like this huge importance gets placed on like, well, I go to work and I do this thing. And honestly, that's really straightforward. That means you have no other distractions. Like you have this super focused time to like focus on yourself and on the job. And so that means you're not having to juggle a lot of different things. That's the exact opposite of operating a household. Like there's moving pieces all the time and things that you have to remember. And it's very complicated. So yeah, the whole, what is it? The domestic labor. What is it called again?
What do you mean?
The whole, there's a term for it that I'm sure we used and defined in our podcast on it.
Domestic labor.
Domestic labor, is that the right
word
for? Okay. Yeah, the split in domestic labor is a big thing.
Oh, it's like way heavy women.
Yeah.
Like that's the big thing. You can watch the documentaries on Hulu.
I think Hulu.
I think. And it's really interesting. So in most relationships now, both parents are working. Like, there is a steep decrease in single income homes just because it's not feasible. Attainable. Yeah, it's not attainable with what things cost now. So both parties are working, and yet women still maintain a very large percentage of the household labor. Mm-hmm. And it kind of breaks down into detail about that. And it was interesting how many, it broke it down by race, I believe, if you remember. Yep. Right.
Yep.
And the majority of relationships, women were actually the higher earners in the relationships
today. Yeah.
Today, and still do the primary, like, it's just interesting. So mm-hmm. Anyway,
women do it all. Men just go to work and come home. Mm-hmm. Is the gist of it. But again, the system itself is actually laid out in the book, so there's a lot more constructive things in there. I do think the documentary does a decent job of like highlighting the issue and explaining it, mm-hmm. but not a lot of like, here's the measures to go through. Mm-hmm. So hopefully we answered that sufficiently.
Yeah. And we'll get into emails maybe next. If you guys want, send us a DM or whatever, but we'll try and hit a bunch of the emails that are unread in next week's episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's power through a bunch of these because we're slow.
We are slow.
We're trying to answer them way too thoroughly.
I guess. Yeah. But we love you guys. We hope you're having a great week. Subscribe, rate, review.
Do the podcast stuff.
Yeah. Talk soon.
Bye.